This is the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast on Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut?
I resign.
We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad?
I was so wrong.
Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report Podcast is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, January 27th, here at a bustling Gillette Stadium, where we are freezing, and well into the offseason. Construction going on, coaching changes, looking ahead to free agency, and we'll be here each and every Friday on these roster reports to keep everybody up to date on the comings and goings. Right now, the tables from the training room have been going out of the training room or in the hallway right outside our studio as they add on to the facilities here at Gillette Stadium on the football level and should be ready in time for the spring.
Looks like it's going to be a big operation.
Oh, yeah. Adding a lot of square footage, a lot of footprint being added to the football operations element. And should be nice. Should be an attraction maybe for some free agents as they come, looking at new facilities and new opportunities. But we're here to talk about a roster, and this week the roster of coaches is shrinking by the day. Eric Scalavino.
Yep.
A number of
Andy
moves,
Hart.
The biggest of which, Dante Scarnecchia.
Yeah.
After 32 NFL seasons, 3 decades of which took place right here in Foxborough, right here in New England, 7 Super Bowls, has called it a career, is moving on, and I think we all saw this coming over the last year or two, and even Bill Belichick referenced that he was aware that Dante was coming to the end and even got a couple extra years out of Dante that maybe they didn't quite think they were going to get to start with. But Dante has called it a career. And I'm going to read to you Bill Belichick's quote in the statement that the release announcing the move. Dante Scarnecchia is a Patriot and NFL legend who defined the phrase, not for long. We know the famous phrase in the NFL,
defied.
Not for long. Defied.
Yeah, right, not defined.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he was here for a long time.
Did I put an N in there? That's
that's
a big N.
Right.
It's like Salinga. That really changes the whole thing. In an industry of constant change, Dante remained a fixture here for the simple reason that he helped every player reach his highest potential, regardless of who he was, how he was acquired, or how much raw talent he had. Like Stephen Neal.
Right.
In whatever category a coach can be assessed, evaluator, teacher, motivator, problem solver, disciplinarian, team player, winner, Dante is as good as it gets. As many games as he helped us win, and as much as we would like to work with Dante forever, we are blessed with the opportunity to have been with him as long as we were. And to replace Dante on the coaching roster, Eric's going to tell you his name.
Dave DeGuglielmo.
DeGuglielmo. He is a veteran coach. He was actually out of football last year, but is a 22-year veteran. He's been in the NFL for 9 seasons. Broke in with the Giants in 04, 04 to 08 there. The Jets, the Dolphins 09 to 11, and then the Jets in 12. Mm-hmm. He is a started his career at BU, where he was a former player and then ended up coaching and moved up the college ranks and then on to the NFL. Eric, I'm just going to say it. I'm worried.
I'm a little concerned, too, especially, no matter who they would have brought in, I would have probably been a little concerned because
unless it was that Alex Gibbs guy who everybody said was great for so long that was around
that
for like
former
40
Broncos
years.
Guy
yeah.
with the
other than that I'm worried. You can't hold a candle to Dante Scarnecchia. Sorry, Dave. I'm sure you
really
deserve some respect but Dante's a legend.
It's really hard to replace somebody like that.
And we've seen it too many times. Yeah. We've seen Saleh Asseya and Joe Andruzzi come out and be good enough. We've seen Russ Hochstein come out and be good enough.
Right.
We've seen center after center after center come out and be good enough. I'm sorry. I've watched other games where one guy goes down and it all hits the fan.
Mm-hmm.
It never hit the fan with Dante here.
Usually
you
not.
You got Josh Klein. You got Logan Mankins. It never hit the fan. It wasn't always perfect. I'm not saying it was always, the most dominant line in the history of the world.
Right.
But it never hit the fan on Dante's watch.
It didn't. And for a guy who wasn't an offensive lineman, I mean, as you know, he's basically my size. He actually reminds me a lot of my dad,
That said, I wouldn't mess with him.
No, exactly. That's one of the reasons why he reminds me of my dad. But
you kick our asses.
He had that thing that every coach needs, which is the respect of his players. And it didn't matter how big they were, how young they were. They looked up to this guy who was, much smaller than they were. But he knew what he was doing, and he got the most out of his players. Just because you played the position, which Dave DeGuglielmo did, doesn't necessarily guarantee that you're going to have that sort of respect or be able to get out of other people what maybe you got out of yourself, or you know, what you think you can get out of them. So it's I am very worried, especially since the Patriots haven't had a lot of high draft pick players on the offensive line. They've mostly been able to use that either low draft pick or undrafted rookie free agent, you know, pick them up off the scrap heap of other teams' players. Look at Dan Conley, for instance, the guy who started with the Jags as an undrafted guy, got cut by them. They picked him up. He's now the starting right guard on this team.
No, it was last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, most recently,
yes,
that's who he was. And that's a product of being in Dante Scarnecchia's system.
Yep.
It remains to be seen how well Dave DeGuglielmo or any other coach in that situation can and will do.
And it'll be interesting to see. You have Nate Solder, Sebastian Vollmer, Logan Mankins, three guaranteed starters who've never played for anybody else. They've been in one system, one coach. Even Mankins, you know, having a long career, it's been Dante and nothing else. It'll be interesting to see how they embrace new coaching, new ideas, new philosophies, whatever it may be, and how that all plays out. I'm also just concerned in a general level of, you know, Dante, as Bill said, did everything at some point in his career, and
special
including
teams,
here,
tight ends,
you know, disciplinarian, respect, bed
assistant
watch,
head coach.
Yeah, assistant head coach. I'm just a little concerned that you've lost a really experienced voice, regardless, you know, regardless of the offensive line, just on your coaching staff, who's been through it all.
And a guy who maybe if Bill is doing something that maybe other people kind of look sideways at but are afraid to speak up about, Dante's the kind of guy who probably wouldn't be afraid to say, hey, Bill, let's think about this.
Right.
And I don't know if you can get a young up-and-coming coach to come in and have that sort of chutzpah.
Jeez, now I got to say DeGuglielmo and chutzpah.
You don't have to. I'll take care of
it. Dante is not the only departure this week from the coaching staff. Two other moves. Another interesting long-tenured man in the name of Pepper Johnson spent the last 26 years with Bill Belichick, including, I believe it's the last 13 or 14 as a coach, was a player, was with him in Cleveland, been here since the beginning,
the
has
Giants.
Coached D-line, yes, yeah. coach linebackers. And Pepper has decided to move on, basically to pursue his dreams and goals. And reading between the lines of his statement when he announced that he would not be back, I think he wants to be a coordinator and maybe even has head coaching aspirations. Has been passed over a few times here for Mangini and Pease and now Patricia, and has just decided to move on. I also think the unique aspect of his coaching was a big factor with the Dirty Show team, which is the scout team.
Yep.
And just a big factor in terms of emotion that he brought to the coaching staff, the sideline, the
kind of like Dante too.
Yes. Mm. Even just the stupid need five, need got one, need
got
four, you got one, got two. Or just when he yelled when they were nickel Nico, and he's yelling out they need nickel packages and everything. I just think he brought a unique experience level as a player and energy as an ex-player, which a lot of those guys often do, that I don't think is easily replaced, has not yet been replaced on the staff. Will be interesting to see if they bring in an ex-player type coach, if they fill, if they promote from within with coaching assistants or whatever it may be. But I think that's another different type of loss, but not to be overlooked.
Yeah, because while Dante had the respect based on his abilities, Pepper certainly did too, but he also related to certain players because he was a player and was much closer to their age than Dante was.
Been there,
so
done that.
Has a different level of respect, I think, from his players. And even players at other positions, because, you know, he, at one point he was the D-line coach.
Yep, has moved around.
Moved around a little bit, but was always in the front seven. And was very close, it seemed, with Vince Wilfork.
Yep.
Even Brandon Spikes.
Yep.
Guys like that. So
would run with them and stretching. And
exactly.
Interesting. Both guys that are gone would run and stretching and stuff.
Right. Very
maybe
similar.
Maybe the only
in
two
quality.
That
right.
run during the
stretching. The only stretching. Ones that I ever saw.
Yeah.
On the coaching
hadn't
staff.
Hadn't thought of that until just now.
So you're right.
Plus
another,
he's big.
A very big
the opposite
man,
end of the Dante spectrum. He's
right.
big as the players.
He's also another guy who I think, because of his unique relationship with Bill, probably wasn't afraid to speak his mind
correct.
When he wanted to. And again, if you bring somebody new in, they're more likely to try to go with the flow and appease rather than
Dean?
He's already got his job. But rather than maybe make waves,
right,
at least initially. So I'm a little worried about that, too, and how they're going to be able to fill that that role.
The third departure, George Godsey, been the tight end coach here of late, came here sort of, I think, on the recommendation of Bill O'Brien. And now that Bill O'Brien is the head coach of the Houston Texans, Godsey has moved on to be the quarterback's coach for the Texans. Godsey actually played quarterback under Bill O'Brien at Georgia Tech, and they have a longstanding relationship. He actually tried to bring Godsey with him to Penn State when he first left here. So that's obviously a good move for Godsey, who I would think would sort of envision himself moving up the ranks there, maybe be the OC there, even if he's not the play caller under Bill. But another young coach and at a position where it's going to be an interesting offseason. Rob Gronkowski rehabbing from an ACL. You have the two guys, Mulligan and Manawanui, are free agents. You're probably going to have a relatively high draft pick or big-name type free agent brought in to add some talent there. And as of right now, you're without a coach at that position. Again, will be interesting to see how they promote from within and who's in that role and what they do there. Obviously, Brian Daboll is an option to coach there as an offensive-minded guy who's moved around the offense over the years. I also want to just Jim Schwartz is a name that I think is worth keeping an eye on. Without an assistant head coach now that Dante is gone and without a experienced voice on defense that Bill trusted and or, you know, could sort of go back and forth with, obviously, Jim Schwartz, fired by the Lions, a defensive-minded coach, coordinator in Tennessee, a guy that goes way back to Cleveland with Bill. Bill tried to bring here early on in his staff. Maybe that's an option to add a veteran coach to the staff and a veteran mind on defense that could help out with Patricia.
Makes a lot of
different
sense.
Things. But I do think it'll be interesting to see how they fill these roles and who they bring in from the outside, if at all. And I do think they need to bring
I think they might have to.
Even more so than just Elmo, Coach D, whatever we're going to call him, because I'm not going to call him his name. Sorry, Dave.
That's fine.
Coach Dave. But it's been an interesting first week, and the final note of the week is
a pretty big one, too.
Yes, Nick Caserio, as we speak, apparently, is in South Beach, taking his skills to South Beach to interview for the open Miami Dolphins GM job. Nick has turned down interviews in the past to go talk to the Colts. This time around, Josh McDaniel's buddy, like Josh, took the opportunity to at least interview. Who knows where that goes? Reports out of Miami, it's been a long process, and they haven't had a lot of success at this point, but reports were that they were about to start second interviews with finalists as of tomorrow. So we'll see how Nick's late arrival to the process maybe affects things. My gut tells me he won't go.
Really?
But you never know when some money and opportunity is thrown out there how a guy feels about it. So I think it's interesting that he's interviewing.
I do, too, and you know, I've seen a lot of these situations where there are rumored to be either second rounds of interviews or several candidates for a job. And then at the last minute, another name comes in. And before you know it, those second rounds and those the groups of names suddenly disappear because the owner or the team falls in love with the candidate that comes in at the last minute. So I'm maybe a little bit more inclined to think that if it's offered, he does take it. In which case the Patriots would be yet again looking for somebody to step up either in-house or from out. I think there are a couple of candidates in-house that might be able to fill that player personnel role pretty well. But before we speculate on that, let's wait and see if Caserio
Nick's still
actually
here,
leaves. Right. Technically he's still here, so we'll save that for another podcast, but
maybe next Friday.
Yeah, perhaps. Who knows? But I do think it's interesting that he did decide to seek out this opportunity when it came along this time.
Didn't decline it. And while all this is going on with his team, Bill Belichick has been in Mobile for the Senior Bowl this week. I believe he arrived Monday, right after the press conference.
After,
I think he got the hell out of here and is working on what I think is going to be an important offseason for this football team, picking 29th in the draft, which, in case everybody needs a reminder, will be May 8th. It's bumped back a couple weeks into the month of May. And PFW will have you covered from now till then. Free agency, May 11th.
Start looking at that, too.
We got to start looking at free agency, the draft prospects. We will have it all for you. Full combine coverage in about, I don't know, I guess it's 3 weeks now. And each and every Friday, we'll be back here with a Roster Report podcast with the comings. And this week, plenty of goings. For Eric Scalvino and Paul Perillo, who is Lord knows where, I'm Andy Hart. We'll talk to you next Friday on another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast. Peace out.
This has been the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team, only on Patriots.com.